Ready? The second case on today's oral argument calendar is in the matter of the license of Herman Thompson, licensed psychologist, case number A-19-98. Counsel for Relator, you may approach and begin. Please identify yourself at the beginning of your argument.
Thank you, and good morning. My name is Larry Reed. I'm the attorney for Mr. Thompson in this matter. And with this appeal, we're asking that this court dismiss the proceedings under its authority because the board did not have jurisdiction. The jurisdiction is set forth in the statute 148.941, which indicates that the board has jurisdiction over a licensee or an applicant for a license. And the statute is clear. In this case, at the time when this case was commenced, Mr. Thompson had retired. He's a 70-year-old man who had been doing this for quite some time. And contrary to the assertions of the Attorney General, which says that Mr. Thompson was, quote, making an unsuccessful attempt to evade discipline by choosing not to renew his license and allowing it to expire.
Can I ask you, is there anything in the statute that provides the, you know, how it's treated if there is a retirement? I mean, it sounds like this is a non-renewal, and the statute, I mean, and the rules deal with the non-renewal situation. And this was a non-renewal, correct, as well as a retirement?
I would not concede that it's a non-renewable. He just simply retired. He indicated to the board that he was not going to continue to work as a psychologist anymore.
But as part of that retirement, he's choosing not to renew his license. Am I correct?
He did not apply to renew it. And so,
well, and most people, if there's a non-renewal, and the reason I'm asking is the respondents cite the rules dealing with non-renewals and indicate that if there's a non-renewal, that there's, I guess it'd be a grace period before the license is actually terminated.
Well, that's not what they said in their brief when they made reference to another rule, which indicates that when a license expires, it ends. I forget the exact page. Give me just a second, and I might be able to identify it. But on page 17, they indicate in their brief, they make reference to the rule stating that a license is valid for the period beginning with the date and ending 2 years later. They cite that in their brief, rule number 7200-3200. So their own brief contradicts that argument, because the license indeed had expired. I mean, this is an effort to manufacture jurisdiction when the statute clearly indicates the situations where discipline can be imposed. It contains no provision authorizing this board to impose discipline in a situation where an individual has been retired.
What about Rule 7200.3700, which provides that the board retains jurisdiction over a former licensee for complaints received after termination regarding conduct that occurred while licensed? You thinking that only applies if the complaints are received after?
That's what it says. I mean, that's the clear language.
It's kind of a peculiar set of circumstances. You have jurisdiction while he's licensed. You have jurisdiction after the license ends for complaints that are made after he's licensed. But if there were complaints made while he was licensed, they have no jurisdiction. That doesn't make much sense, does it?
That's what the language says. And so all I can do is go by what the language says. And the language says that it does not provide for continued jurisdiction after an individual retires in this situation. And so all I can do is go by what it says, and I'm asking you to apply the plain language of the statute.
This isn't statutory language, I think. This is rule language.
Well, the statute says that the board can only impose discipline where there is a licensee or an application for license. In this particular case, this case started out on this theory that he had applied for a license, and he had not. If you look in the footnotes in the state's brief, they concede that they had indeed characterized this as an application for a license when there had been no application for a license, and they say that at some point later on, they changed it by indicating that it was related to a license. So at the very inception of this matter in August of 2017.
Could I ask you this? Because I'm looking at the rule, again, at Minnesota Rule 7200.3700. And that provides that a license may be voluntarily terminated at any time upon written notification to the board. And then the next clause is operative here, unless a complaint is pending against the licensee. Would that rule apply here?
I don't see how it does. I mean, his license had expired.
I think this was a voluntary termination by your client.
My client was 70 years old. I mean, this is the situation. The situation was that about a year before this case was initiated, a complaint was made by Alpha House, where my client and I went in and interviewed with the board's attorney. We then interviewed with the police. The police found that there wasn't enough evidence, and the board didn't do anything for a year. In that interim period, the Alpha House referred this gentleman to an attorney, Jeff Anderson, who decided that they would not go forward with it because of the statute of limitations. And so 6 or 9 months later, we learned that there had been some sort of an effort to make to serve a notice, but we didn't know anything about it. First, I wasn't representing him at the time because there was no indication that there was anything going on. There was no indication that there was a complaint. Our understanding was that the complaints had been resolved. The police were not doing anything. The attorney was not doing anything. And the board had not given any notice of any intent to do anything. So he elected to retire. He's 70-something years old. So but that was the circumstance. And then the state attempted once again to disregard the rules and sent, evidently, they say they sent something to me in May, and I didn't know anything about it. There was a hearing, evidently, in July of 2017, that I didn't know anything about, so we did not appear. When I found out about it after this hearing, I did appear on a conference call and indicated that I was not authorized to accept service of process for my client. This, again, was after the license had expired. And so I would submit, Your Honor, that the statute does not provide jurisdiction where the licensee, there is no licensee and there is no application for a license, and therefore, for that reason alone, the case ought to be dismissed.
You refer often to the statute and the statute alone. I mean, would you agree as a general matter that we must look to both the statute and the administrative rules in order to identify the applicable sources of law?
I believe that's the practice of the court, I think to the extent that the rules are inconsistent with the statute, you have to apply the statute.
I don't think you've made an argument that the rules are invalid for any reason.
I didn't make that argument.
No. So I mean, I think the rules, we must presume the rules are valid, and we must look to the statute and the rules. The statute is there's really just one word in the statute or one phrase, applicant or licensee, that you're hanging your hat on, right? But the rules have a more elaborate scheme, it seems to me. I mean, there's
the rules that you have referred to have an elaborate scheme, but none of them refer to a retiree.
Well, they refer to, I mean, there's a distinction in the rules, it seems to me, and I mean, and this is the argument in the red brief, in the responsive brief, and we will hear it, I think, shortly. But it seems like there's a distinction between a license that has expired and a license that has been terminated. And there are limitations on when a license may be terminated.
Well, I think that's an argument they've made, but I don't think it's found in the statute.
No, it's in the rules, to be sure. Well, but those rules are, I mean, I think you just said those rules are valid.
Well, what I'm saying is that there is a provision in the rules for expiration, which I just referred to in 72.3200, mm-hmm. which says that the license is valid until it expires, period. If a psychologist were to go out and to try to operate as a psychologist without a license, he could be charged with a crime. I mean, so it's one or the other. And to the extent that the two are, the other rule that you referred to, I believe you said, I think it's at 3510, if I'm correct, that rule, well, we'll strike that. If the rules, it seems to me, based upon that observation, the rules are inconsistent. The question then would become, what would you apply? And I would suggest to you that the plain language of the statute would then control.
I mean, I read your opening brief. I didn't read any argument in there that you're attacking the rules.
I'm not attacking the rule. The question is whether the rule is applicable in this situation.
Okay.
Well, can I ask you this? Because I'm just looking at the rule again, and mm-hmm. I'm just trying to figure out how you think that whether this rule applies. Because again, the rule provides that a license may be voluntarily terminated at any time upon written notification to the board. So let's just take that clause. As I read that, that means that anyone could retire and give written notification to the board.
I read that. I'm sorry.
I mean, so that's one situation, right?
I read that to apply to a situation where, for example, an individual, say, just got his license and decides to retire. Rather than let the license expire
at
the end of the term.
That's what I wanted to get to. So you're saying the expiration is different than terminating within the time period of the license.
Right.
So you're saying that should be treated differently.
I am.
And why is that?
Because that's what the rule says. You got one rule that says that your license expires. You got another rule that says that you can give notice that you want to terminate. Why would you terminate the license in the? There's no need to terminate a license that terminates by its own operation. In other words, it expires on a specific date. So why would he need to give a notice of termination of his license when it is already expired? If he's 6 months into the term and decides, well, I'm leaving, going to Arkansas, I'll give notice that I'm going to terminate. I think that's when that rule would apply.
So under your view of the statute and the rules, could a psychologist retire while an investigation was pending and thereby deprive the board of jurisdiction? And then at a later time, could the psychologist or the former licensee seek relicensure under 0.3610 without ever having to face the consequences of the earlier complaint?
I think Mr. Thompson faced the earlier consequences of the complaint and assumed that it was resolved. We had no notice that they intended to pursue the case further after he had retired. And so, as I indicated, he went and interviewed.
So, but maybe my question is a hypothetical about somebody else, a different psychologist. I mean, it appears at a glance that the relicensure procedure is not very onerous. And so, if could a person, under your view of the law, avoid an investigation, avoid discipline by not renewing the license, and then at a later time seek relicensure, and in that situation, how would the board ever hold the person accountable for whatever had occurred that gave rise to the complaint?
I have not conducted that analysis, and I'm not prepared to speculate as to what would happen under that hypothetical, because I got enough to deal with what actually happened here. But the board has jurisdiction if someone applies for a license. The statute clearly says that. So if my client retired and then applied for a license, the board would have jurisdiction under the statute as an applicant for a license. Well, that's how this case was characterized.
All right, but I just want, if you could explain, because if your client had sent in a notice of termination or retirement on the day before it expired, would you agree then that statute would apply or that rule would apply because a complaint was pending?
No. One, because, I mean, again, this is a hypothetical. I mean, as to what might happen.
Well, we have to consider that because we can't, I mean, because if we accept your argument in that case, there would be jurisdiction. But if he waits until the next day when it expires, then there's no jurisdiction.
And I think
one tenet of construction is we have to interpret in a reasonable way and not reach an absurd result. So,
but if again,
can you explain why that would be a reasonable result?
The rule 7200.3200 says that the license expires on the last day of the month. So that in itself terminates the license. And so that, to me, controls that situation that you just talked about. If, in fact, as Judge Johnson indicated, a person then reapplies, then he would be covered by the provisions under 148.941, which gives the board jurisdiction over an applicant for licensure, which is what this case was characterized at and which it was not.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that citation? Wait. You're referring to
7200.3200. That would be the rule.
Well, I'm sorry, the application, I thought you cited.
Oh, the statute is 148.941, subdivision 2.
Thank you.
Which gives the authority to the board but to take action against an applicant for a license or a licensee.
Mr. Reed, your initial allotment of time has expired. You will have an opportunity to make rebuttal argument. Counsel for respondent.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Nicholas Linish, Assistant Attorney General, and I represent Respondent, the Minnesota Board of Psychology. The board is asking that you affirm its final order for the following reasons. First, the board had jurisdiction over Relator and properly took disciplinary action against Relator's license because the board received, investigated, and initiated a proceeding against Relator before Relator's license expired, and Relator's violation to the Psychology Practice Act occurred during the time period when Relator admits that he was licensed. Second, the board properly took action in this matter, and the case was not time-barred, because while the Psychology Practice Act creates a 7-year statute of limitations in certain matters, the statute contains a specific exception for complaints alleging sexual misconduct with a client. Such complaints are not subject to any limitations period under the Practice Act. Third, the board's order was based upon substantial evidence, and in fact, was based upon a 2.5-day hearing at the Office of Administrative Hearings, where 7 witnesses testified and the ALJ received 125 pages of exhibits into evidence. The ALJ ultimately made 129 findings of fact, citing the extensive record, and concluded that the committee proved by preponderance the evidence that Relator repeatedly sexually abused JW, who was 16 years old when he reported to Relator to receive psychological services. For all the foregoing reasons, the board respectfully requests that this court affirm the board's order revoking Relator's license to practice psychology in Minnesota.
Well, could we get right to what I think counsel for the realtor here dealt with, and that is whether whether this was an expiration of a license as opposed to a voluntary termination of a license, and that because it is an expiration, he's done. And the language deals with voluntary termination in the rules.
Well, thank you, Your Honor. The relator's license expired on June 30th of 2017. That doesn't mean that the license vanishes. It's not terminated until no fewer than 60 days following that expiration date under the board's own rules.
So would you consider what happened here with, and I think it's a retirement, a notice of retirement, and a basic intent not to renew. Is that the situation?
I think the board has jurisdiction under either situation. If the case is an expiration, then the board, because of the process the board had taken to investigate, initiate a contested case prior to the time that the expiration had taken place, the board has jurisdiction. It is notable that Relator has indicated that he states, both in his brief and here, that he indicated to the board that he was not going to practice anymore. That seems akin to a voluntary termination, and so it could potentially be treated under that statute, where under 7200.3700, pending complaint, when a licensee has a pending complaint, a voluntary termination is not effective.
Is there anything in the rules that deal with the situation of retirement, and they use the word expiration? I think because all I've seen is a voluntary termination.
I'm not aware of anything in the rules referring to retirement, Your Honor. There is reference in the rules to expiration date, and I think it's the rules that the that have been cited previously in the previous discussion of this matter.
Judge Klapach, he asked your opposing counsel a question about the third sentence of .3700, which talks specifically about the situation in which a complaint is received after termination. Now, that's not the scenario here, right? This complaint was received, there was no termination, I think, under your view, correct?
That's correct.
So, I mean, which provision of the provisions of the rules apply directly to this scenario?
Well, Your Honor, the 7200.3510, which applies to termination of a license, doesn't apply in this scenario because of the degree to which the complaint had been investigated and a contested case had been commenced at the Office of Administrative Hearings. 7200.3700, to the extent that the court considers licensee's indication to the board that he was not going to practice anymore to be akin to a voluntary termination, that rule could apply. However, the principle behind the first and third sentences of 7200.3700 are notable here because, as Your Honor has pointed out previously, potentially there could be a situation, as Relator argues, where a licensee who expires could be treated differently than a licensee who indicates to the board his intention to voluntarily terminate one day before the expiration date. And those rules need to be read together. So, as Your Honor indicated, there's not an absurd result.
What you're really saying is there is no specific rule that applies to this specific factual situation without trying to harmonize all the rules.
I think that's fair to say, Your Honor. I think it's fair to look at a number of the rules and the policy behind the rules.
Well, I'm going to ask you the same question I ask the realtor here. the provision in that rule that says a license may be voluntarily terminated at any time upon written notification to the board unless a complaint is pending against the licensee, is that the applicable rule here? Does it apply to this situation?
I don't think that that rule necessarily applies to this situation, Your Honor.
Because
there's not evidence in the record that the licensee provided written notification to the board.
And which rule is applicable then specifically?
Well, Your Honor, I think makes a good point that that Rule 7200.3510 doesn't appropriately apply in this case because of the conflict between that rule and 7200.3700, which could create an absurd result and undermine the board's public protection purpose.
Is there a gap here in the rules?
I think that argument can be made, Your Honor, yes.
So then you're filling in the gap.
Well, the board is exercising its discretion in the way that it applies its rules, as is appropriate. And I'll note that the Minnesota Supreme Court has dealt with similar issues in Lawyers Professional Responsibility Board cases. And those cases, such as N. Ray McCoy, stand for this same principle. A quote from McCoy is, "When a lawyer's flagrant violations of professional responsibilities justify disbarment, resignation will not be allowed, and to permit a lawyer to resign when disbarment is clearly called for would not serve the interest of justice nor deter others from legal misconduct."
This case is not specifically a resignation. This is simply the license expired.
Correct, Your Honor. I think the same principle applies, however, as the licensee has indicated that he intends to retire and purposely did not renew his license.
Well, what about the second part of the rule, which is the board retains jurisdiction over a former licensee for complaints received after termination regarding conduct that occurred while licensed? Do you believe that applies here?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that the board has jurisdiction over...
Even though the complaints here didn't occur after termination?
I think that rule could potentially apply to this situation because the clear intent of this rule, read in harmony with the rest of the Practice Act, is to give the board broad jurisdiction to take action and hold licensees accountable for violations of the Practice Act.
Does require some rewriting of the rules, in effect.
I don't think so, Your Honor.
Fill in the gaps.
Well, I think that it calls for the board's discretion in how it interprets and applies its own rules. And I'll just note that boards are entitled to considerable deference in how they interpret and apply their own rules and regulations.
You're not telling us that the rule which says the board retains jurisdiction for complaints received after termination means that it has jurisdiction for complaints that occurred before termination as well, are you?
Your Honor is correct that provision doesn't directly apply to this situation. However, this rule is instructive in determining how the board should interpret the Practice Act as a whole, including this rule relating to voluntary termination and 7200.3510 relating to termination without renewal.
I was surprised when you answered. Judge Hooten asked whether that third sentence applied. You said yes. I was surprised because it says the board retains jurisdiction over a former licensee. I mean, is Mr. Thompson a former licensee?
No. In this situation, Mr. Thompson is a licensee. And I appreciate you bringing that up, Your Honor, because I want to clear that up, that expiration of a license does not mean that a license goes away. An expired license is still a license, and the board has jurisdiction.
Where is the rule that says that?
Well, there is a reference in, for example, 7200.3510, and there may be other references to this, but 7200.3510 subdivision 2 says the board shall terminate the license of a licensee whose license renewal is at least 60 days overdue. That suggests that a licensee who's expired remains a licensee.
Is there a provision in the rules that, let's hypothetical, somebody practicing psychology, there's no complaints, in the middle of the 2-year license term just writes a letter, says, I want to terminate my license. I want you to terminate my license now. Is there a provision in the rules for the board to do so?
In this hypothetical, is there a pending complaint?
No pending complaint, but there's also no expiration?
Yes, Your Honor. If I understand you correctly, you're saying if a licensee in the middle of the licensure term contacts the board saying, I wish to voluntarily terminate my license to move to another state, would the board terminate that license? The answer is yes. However,
Where is the rule that governs? I'm sorry.
That would question. Be 7200.3700, Your Honor, voluntary termination.
First sentence. Okay, I got it. Thank you.
And in that situation, if a complaint comes in after the termination relating to a time while he was fully licensed, the board has jurisdiction under the rule.
Correct, Your Honor.
Still seems to me like we have a little gap here in the facts here that's not specifically covered by a rule.
Well, I think that the rules seem to be interpreted by the board to apply to given situations, and the legislature has given the boards room to do that, and the courts have given the boards room to do that. Considerable deference, in fact, according to the St. Otto's Home versus DHS.
I'm not sure if you've cited that case law in your brief, but which line of cases are you referring to when you're talking about the agency's deference for implementing and interpreting its own rules?
So on page 15, flowing into 16 of my brief, Your Honor, the St. Otto's Home case, the entirety of the quote is at the top of page 16.
Okay. I see it now. Thank you.
I don't disagree with you, the rationale and the logic of your position. It's just that when your board starts to write all kinds of rules relating to specific situations, but then doesn't cover a specific situation, I don't know. What's the reason of having the rules if you can fill in the gaps later by not having a rule but saying it's within the general policy of our rules?
Well, I do think it's appropriate, Your Honor, for a board to follow its rules but to also apply rules to given circumstances that the board sees in its interest in regulating the profession.
You don't mean to apply rules, because we've already said there is no rule covering this specific situation.
In this case, I think the board drew from a number of different rules, including the two that I've mentioned, 7200.3510 and 7200.3700, as well as the entirety of the Practice Act. I do think that it's clear from a number of provisions of the Practice Act, including the statute of limitations provision that's been briefed elsewhere in this matter, that the legislature intended for the board to have broad jurisdiction over its licensees, to hold licensees accountable in cases like this one, where it's been proven by preponderance of the evidence.
Okay, but then in fairness, we shouldn't be citing to rules. You should be citing to the public protection purposes that the statute has.
I think that both apply, Your Honor.
Isn't McCoy distinguishable for at least a couple of reasons? One is that there's no indication in that opinion about what rules governing discipline of lawyers, were being interpreted and what those rules said. Secondly, it seems like the Supreme Court itself has supervisory administrative authority over the licensure of lawyers. It's a different, they are the only word that matters, really, whereas in this case we are an independent branch trying to interpret the scope of authority of the board.
I agree that the posture of McCoy is somewhat different than that of this current case, but I believe that the overarching principle is the same and that this court can rely on McCoy for persuasive precedent.
I just want to summarize what I hear you saying, because I think you said that the license, the clause that says a license may be voluntarily terminated at any time upon written notification to the board, that there was no written notification to the board in this case?
That's correct, Your Honor. There's not.
So that one doesn't apply?
There's not written notification to the board in the record in this case.
Okay, and you can't point to any specific provision that would apply here?
That's correct, Your Honor.
All right. And what I hear counsel for the realtor arguing is look, the rules say what they say, and you should apply the rules the way they're written, by the plain language of the rules. How do you respond to that argument?
Well, I think that Relator's case is also not pointing to a clear rule that states that the board loses jurisdiction over the licensee. I think that Relator is arguing that because the licensee has declared himself to retired and expired, that a valid board proceeding, which has been filed at the Office of Administrative Hearings, should be concluded and the board should have no jurisdiction over a licensee in that situation regarding complaints that relate to a time period when the licensee was indisputably licensed. And that can't be the proper result in this case.
Well, let me ask you this. Practically, if in fact, if there's a change of heart that regarding retirement and the realtor comes and applies again, wouldn't the board be able to raise these issues if there's a request for a new license?
Well, potentially, Your Honor. I mean, the first problem is that the board has a statutory obligation to investigate and conclude its investigation and resolve complaints in an efficient manner. So that such a situation would fly in the face of that legislative mandate. And then secondly, it could potentially put the board at a disadvantage in providing proper disciplinary action and proper investigation of a case if such time has passed at a relator's own behest. If a relator can control the disciplinary process by allowing his license to terminate, evading jurisdiction, and then later at his choosing come back, that's against the principles of McCoy and related cases.
And in support, in other words, you want us to basically interpret the rules in a way that they aren't expressly or specifically written.
I think it's correct that there's no rule perfectly on point for this case, but the rules as a whole and pieces of several rules apply to support the board's actions in this case. I see that my time is up. I thank the court for its time.
Thank you, Mr. Lenish. Mr. Reed, you have an opportunity for rebuttal.
Thank you. Just briefly, in answer to that last question, the statute provides that the board would have jurisdiction to deal with an applicant. I mean, it's right there in the statute, subdivision 2. And I agree with you with respect to McCoy. McCoy was in the middle of litigation, and those facts do not apply. The beginning of my discussion related to this statutory provision, and there were a number of statutory provisions that were not complied with, in particular the statute of limitations. Because counsel did not argue it, I would just direct the court's attention to that, unless I'm allowed to make that argument now. But I would also argue that the case was precluded by the statute of limitations in a situation where the allegations were 13 years old, and the statute, at least as I read it on its face, bars the litigation. So I'd ask the court to take a look at that.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. Thank you to both counsel for your arguments. The case is submitted. The court will issue its opinion within 90 days.